You can turn in your Bibles for a text to get the title of the message this morning. You can turn in your Bibles to Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, we find four words that we want to use as we think of a title. I'm going to take the time to read verse 13 and 14 at this time. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now we oftentimes don't hear a lot of preaching that where the preacher just would talk about works and how your works need to be there. Because we meet people today that they somehow feel that their works is going to get them into heaven. If they do the right thing, if they say the right thing, and we do enough of it, somehow we're guaranteed entrance into heaven. That's not what my Bible says. The title of the message this morning, Zealous of Good Works. Zealous of Good Works. Titus here is talking, and you could jump back to verse 7. I'm going to read that too. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. He talks much about good works. Chapter 3, verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Does it matter what we do? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. You know, we can go, we're not going to stay here in this passage much for the message of the morning. But as we think of Titus there and the encouragement to him to, for good works, to be zealous, to put forth effort into it. I think about Jesus. Jesus came to this earth and he promoted good works. That's what he did as he went through life. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of James. A lot of times when we think of good works and the works religion, if your mind's the same as mine, we go to this passage. And we could have started with this, but we didn't. Because we're looking for people that are zealous, people that are putting effort into it, but the effort needs to start at the right place. Needs to start at the right place. James chapter 2. We want to read some verses here. Let's start reading at verse 14. I think that's a good place to break into it. You know, that's where my Bible has a heading of starts talking about faith and works and how it's needful to have faith first. Verse 14, what doth it profit, my brethren? Though a man say he hath faith and hath not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister being naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. Cease reading there. We can read on down, and it talks about Rahab and how she was, her faith that she had in God produced works. Abraham, his faith that he had in God when God said to go out and offer your son Isaac, it produced works. Faith today. And works run together. They need to be hand in hand. We need to have a faith that produces a work in our lives. We're all sitting here this morning. We say, well, we have faith. We believe that Jesus is God. And we believe that He sent His Son Jesus. That God sent His Son Jesus. And that He died on the cross. And that He gave His life for our sins. And yes, we have faith in it. We believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. But do we do what it asks of us? Do we live it out in everyday life? The first point I have, as we look at a zeal for good works. Good works is going to express the genuineness of our faith in Christ Jesus. You know, James talks, we've probably heard already where James is known as, the book of James is known as the book of practical religion. You know, it talks about the tongue and some of those things that we face in life. And it puts forth some proofs of our faith and where our faith is. This is one of them. How our works work out in our everyday life. Verse 14 has that question. Can faith save him? If you're going to just stand and say that you have faith, and you don't have any outworking in your life to prove it, I believe we have rights to question the faith that you have. Because faith is going to produce a work in you. Verse 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead. We have rights to question it. We have rights to question his faith, because there's no works that line up with it. You may say, well, we have our Mennonite religion, we have our tradition, we have what the decrees say. Our decrees, brothers and sisters, are just an application of Scripture. It is not the Scripture. But it's where we have agreed. We've made a commitment to stand there. How is my works lining up with what's in the decrees? How is my application of Scripture in my everyday life? In other words, how is my works? Yes, I might be living different than the world. Yes, I might be looking like a separated people, but am I truly separated? Am I living a life that is holy? Am I living a life that is free from the sin and the debauchery about us today? Is my life living out the Word of God daily? Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. And he's speaking there, and he's speaking in language that we can understand. It doesn't take much to grasp what he's talking about. And I'd like to read one verse in Matthew chapter 5. As we think of being our works, showing what our faith is in Jesus Christ. Matthew 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It'd be good to read this whole passage and to see the context of where that's in there. But did you catch it? Let your light so shine before men. We're called to be lights in this world. What do they see though? The light is your good works. That they may see your good works so that you look good. No, not so that you look good. What does it say? And glorify your Father which is in heaven. Your life, your works needs to be doing an influence on the world about us. An ideal citizen of the United States of America. That's a world that needs lights of God reflecting the glory back to Him. How am I doing? Is my works? Can the world see my good works? No, we don't lift ourselves up in pride and say, look at me. No, that's not humility. No, that's not what we're talking about this morning. Because good works is humility. Hopefully we'll bring that in a little later on in the message. Is your works, in this first point, what we want to bring out, is your works that you're producing, that your life is producing, is it revealing inside of your heart a genuineness in service for God? A genuineness in your faith? We can change outside. You and me both have a choice. We can make a choice that we're going to do everything right on the outside. But there's still probably going to be times when your works prove otherwise. And sometimes changing the outside and the works that happen are coming out of your life is a good thing that needs to happen. But I want us to realize and to recognize the fact that that's not where it starts. If you find on the outside some works that are contrary to Scripture, works that are going against what God would have us to, works that are living for self and it's all about me, and let's go back and question our faith. Where am I at in my faith? Because what's coming out is a production of where my faith is. A zeal for good works. Start with faith. Build faith. And let the works follow after that. The second point. A zeal for good works helps us to fulfill what God would have us to do. I'm going to go back to James again. James chapter 1, verse 17. I want to read a verse there. James chapter 1, 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variable, neither shadow of turning. Now you might say, well, this has nothing to do with work. Good works. But we see good in there. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of light, Every work that comes forth from your life, that comes forth that's good, is by faith in Jesus. We're called to fulfill what God calls us and to be good people and to give good gifts one to another and to be understanding one to another. Good gifts come from above. God gives it to us when we have faith in His Word as we ought to. Turn with me back to the book of John. John chapter 9. So we think about this aspect of a zeal for good works that helps us to fulfill what God would have us to do. John chapter 9 verse 4. Here we got works in here. You know, Jesus was walking there and he sees this blind man that was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him his question in verse 2. Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And we can go on to read how he spit on the ground, made clay and anointed the eyes, and the man was able to see. Have you today, is one of the works, the good works that God would call you to do, are you willing to do it and realize that it's not because there's somebody else at fault? Maybe God placed them in your life for you to do the good works. I must work the works of Him that sent me. The works of God. Fulfill the works of God. What He would have you to do. While it is today. Today you need to do it. The night cometh when no man can work. So the question to us is, am I doing it today, or am I waiting for some time tomorrow, waiting for some time in the future? Remember. It takes effort. It takes perseverance. It takes a changed heart, a heart of faith. To see the needs in another and to see what we're called to do and to be good stewards of God, what He gives to us, the gifts He gives to us, to be good stewards of it and to give to others. Turn with me back to John chapter 5. We're in John 5:36. Another one is Jesus is speaking there. And he's talking about his Father, God, and he's in heaven and Jesus is walking on this earth. And in verse 36, but I am greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Oh, Jesus is looking at the cross and what he's going to face there. And he realized that the Father has sent him to for a specific work, to bring salvation to the whole world. He's here to bear witness with his works and what he does on the cross that his Father sent him. He's willing to fulfill that plan today. When we give ourselves to fulfill what God would have us to do, fulfill His work that He has for us in life, His good work that He has for us, and we do the good works, we give expression of our faith in God and the provision He has made there on Calvary. And it comes forth from within us, and We realize that it's a faith in the new birth experience coming forth. I trust we do. Willing to give ourselves up for God's plan and what He has for us, the work He has for us. A zeal for good works. A zeal and an energy. What is zeal? I forgot to say that at the start of the message. Zeal is an eagerness in pursuing a course of object. A fervor in our lives. That zeal should be there and should be driving us on to fulfill us, to fulfill what God would have us to do. The third point. When we have a zeal for good works, we will follow the pattern of our Savior and Lord. And we touched a little bit on this, but turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 10. The pattern of our Savior and Lord as He went through this earth, and the Peter is here preaching about Christ, and verse 38. Now God appointed Jesus of Nazareth, which the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He did works. He went about doing good. We sing that song sometimes, the children's song. Jesus went about doing good, the Bible tells me so. He healed the sick, He healed the blind. To little children He was kind. He gave some hungry people food. He said to all, be kind and good. Jesus went about doing good, the Bible tells me so. Yes, He did all that. A zeal for good works should give us a burning desire if our faith is in Him and we believe the Scripture as we ought to, and our life is in right standing with Him. There shouldn't be any barriers for us to cross. There shouldn't be any trouble for us to try to do what Jesus did and follow His pattern. Heal the sick. Yes, He did that. Oh, well, we don't have the gift of healing. Well, some people, I believe there's still people in our church that have that gift of healing. They know what to take, and they know how to help for your health. But what about the sick spiritually? Every one of us can be involved in that. Jesus was concerned about those that were sick spiritually. But He first, a lot of times, wanted to heal them spiritually and then heal their physical sickness. Not all the time, but most of the time He wanted to do that to them. And most times it was done according to their faith. Jesus, the pattern of our Savior and Lord. He was a teacher of the unlearned and the needy. Where's our desire today, brothers and sisters? We have the unlearned about us in the world and the needy about us. A zeal should drive us to realize where they are in life and what they need to learn from God's Word. Jesus helped men to see physically. But He helped them to see also spiritually. He helped men to hear physically. But He helped them to hear spiritually. We are called to help one another. To help one another through. We are our brother's keeper, I believe. And are we doing it? Are we following our pattern of our Savior and Lord? The fourth point. A zeal for good works We'll let the Holy Spirit have free course in our lives. John 15, 26 talks about that Spirit of truth that's going to come, that Holy Spirit. The Comforter is going to come and He will testify to you of Jesus. Let me turn back to that. John 15. Let's read verse 24 to the end of the chapter, and let's all stand for change of position. John chapter 15, verse 24. Those that took care to may stand. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. You may be seated. Verse 24, Jesus is saying, he that hateth me hated my Father also. And then he goes into it, if I had not done among them the works which no other man did. We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three in one, the Trinity. And we're talking in this point about the Holy Spirit having free course in our lives to help us to do and to live out the works, the faith in our lives, to live it out in everyday life. And Jesus is speaking here, and these people were faced with truth. Because He was God, no other man has done this before. And he was living not for himself, but for God. And it pricked their conscience. Because here was a man that did some works that no other man did, and they couldn't understand it. And that pouring forth of his works showed that there was a different spirit within him. That Spirit of truth. And it pricked their conscience. Brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit today is continually at work among us. He should be within your life if you have the faith as you ought to, and your life is grounded in the faith of God, and your life is producing works. The Holy Spirit at work in your life should be evident to people in your works. Your work that comes forth should be evident there's a Holy Spirit at work in your life. And the Holy Spirit is helping you to do good works, to do what you ought to, and the work should line up with it. A zeal for good works. Question is, are we letting the Holy Spirit have free course in our lives? Are we letting it do its work in our lives? What happens when the Holy Spirit nudges us on something that is not as it ought to be? What happens when we're reading the Scripture and the Holy Spirit speaks through the Scripture? I believe it does many times for us. What do we do with it? Are we letting the Holy Spirit have free course in our lives? Are we willing to make the changes when it steps on our toes? When it exposes a need in our lives? when we hinder the Holy Spirit and don't let it have free course, our zeal for good works, I believe, starts going the other way. Because our spiritual life is going the other way. And we start to lose out spiritually. And our works start following. What else does our zeal for good works? And I don't know if how all these tie into the message, but I trust the Spirit will actually bring forth the truth I am striving to bring forth this morning. But as we think of a zeal for good works, a zeal for good works is going to expose what our purpose is for being here on this earth. Too often times we get a little mixed up on this, you know, or we think somehow the earth owns, everybody else about us owes us everything, and it's all for ourselves. But what is your purpose? What are you placed on this earth for? Is it not to have faith in God? Faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, to worship Him, to honor Him, to give your life to Him, to serve Him every day, every minute of your life. What's your purpose on this earth? Good works expose what your purpose is on this earth. What is your purpose? Is it to live for self? Is it to live for what I can get? Is it just to live for the fame that we strive to have? Is it just to live for so everybody thinks good of me? What is your works showing of your life? Or is the outpouring of your work saying, I'm serving God, I'm serving Him, I'm open to the brotherhood, I'm open to one another, I'm striving to live life as it ought, as I ought to be. Ephesians chapter 2. Turn with me there to Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to read 3 verses here. I'm going to read verses 8 to 10. Paul is talking here and he's writing about salvation, and we see in verse 8 there, as he talks about the grace, for by grace are you saved through faith, and it's not of yourself, it is a gift of God. We love that verse. God's riches at Christ's expense, people say about grace. You know, we like to think that of that verse because it shows where our salvation comes from and where our faith is rooted and grounded in. Let's keep reading. There's that gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And then he goes on to talk about you being Gentiles in the time past and how you need to be a changed person. There is nothing, as we look at grace, there is nothing you could do. There is nothing you could do in your life and of yourselves to earn salvation. There is nothing you can do that makes you good enough that when you come to the judgment that you'll be sinless. We're all born with a sin nature. There's no way to get around it but for God's grace. In sending His Son Jesus So what are we created for? What are we here on this earth for? We are His workmanship. He designed and created us. But I'd like to leave the ship off of the end of that word. Are you His workman or woman? What's your purpose? Created in Christ Jesus to good works. This is what we were created for. This is our purpose in life. And when we start going down where we're looking for fulfillment and a purpose somewhere else in life, the world does it many times. And it's empty and it's void. And they run from one thing to the next. And Satan likes to make people believe that it's just around the next corner. But you know, there's always another corner. There's still... He wants you to peek around the next corner and hopefully you'll find it. No, it's not there. So you go to the next one and it's got to be a purpose in life. It's got to be something that fulfills my life there. And it's not there. Because they try to find a purpose in life other than these verses that we just read. The purpose that we need in life is to serve God, to give Him our lives, and to partake of His provision for salvation. That'll bring fullness to your life. You'll have a peace, you'll have a fullness that the world can't give. Turn with me in your Bibles to back a book of the Bible, but to Galatians 6. It's a page in my Bible. Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to read verse 9 and 10. This. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. It gets so much tiring, so tiring as we do the works. And we just get weary of it because there's just so much to do. We do it and we do it and there's just... Over here's a need and over there's a need and we keep giving and giving. Brothers and sisters, the giving we give is nothing compared to what God gave to us. We owe it to Him. We're called to do it for Him. Let's not be weary. Let's look at the big picture. Let's not be weary in well-doing. Because in the end, in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. If we don't give up on the fight. Verse 10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good. And I'd like to say, let's do good works unto all men. Especially to those of the household of faith. I believe the good works that we are called to do, and as we seek to fulfill our purpose in being on this life, it needs to start in the household of faith. But it should spill from there into the world. What are the works that the world needs to see in us? Jump on back to chapter 5 in verse 22. And we know that. Now we're not going to take the time to read them all, but you just ponder it and you think about it. The good works that are there. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Oh yes, good works. Pouring forth from your life because of what Jesus has done for you. A zeal for good works. Should be pouring forth. Let's take the time right now. It's kind of a little bit going off on a different, kind of as a climax to the whole message. And I'd just like to take the time To think of some people in the Bible that had their life produced good works, things that they did. Some words that were there for us. Job 29:15-16, we're not going to turn to that, but it says this: I was eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not, I searched out. There's Job in saying, I did all this. I was so helpful to these people. I did the good works of helping them. I was their eyes to them, and I was feet to the lame. I just helped them along through life. You know, and there's a father to the poor. We know how fathers do. The children need some money, and well, maybe not all of your fathers were like mine was, but he would oftentimes try to help us out on that. He was a father to the poor, you know, they needed help. There's people that didn't have answers to questions in life, and Job took it upon himself to try to search it out for them. He was such a helpful man. And yet we know the account of Job and how he was put through the trial, and he was tested. Workers for God today, as we do our work and our labor, I believe we're tested today as well. But it doesn't mean that we quit being eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. We still need to keep doing it. Proverbs 31. Another one that had works that came out. Worker of God that was producing works. Proverbs 31:20. We know the virtuous woman. She stretched out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reached forth her hands to the needy. Virtuous women. Stretching forth, reaching, helping, giving. Luke 10:34, the Good Samaritan, as he came upon that man that was beaten, his works overflowed, and he went to that man and he bound him up and he poured in oil and wine. There's something different on his heart. We'll find it in these people. Mark 10:42 talks about a cup of cold water. And how if you give a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, it's not going to go unnoticed. Workers of God, being helpful to those we come in contact with. Well, who else? What does this, as we think of doing good works, think with me. Of Elijah as he's walking through that field there, and Elisha is there, and he takes that mantle and throws it on Elisha. And what did Elisha do? He said, oh yes, oh, it must be called for something else. It must mean something. No, I believe Elisha had the faith that he needed to realize that God in that mantle being thrown on him, it was something significant. And he didn't wait to do the works. He got up right away and ran after Elijah and said, what am I to do? And he wanted just a little more time. And yes, willing to do it. Willing worker. Peter and Andrew. We could look at that account in Mark 1. You know, as Jesus called them to be a disciple, they forsook all and followed Him. Isn't the same for us today as we are producing good works? We first of all need to forsake all. Everything that we hold dear to us must be realized and put in a new context as we realize who Jesus is and who we're serving in faith. We must be willing to forsake all and follow. Peter's mother-in-law, Luke 4, you know, She was healed. The fever left her. And what did she do? She got up and ministered to them. Zacchaeus, he made haste and came down and received Jesus into his house. Paul, in his conversion, he straightway went out and preached Christ. Workers, producing works. Paul and Silas in Acts 16:10, you know, they saw a vision. And I believe that's when they saw the vision of going to Macedonia. And what did they do? They strived to follow where that vision was leading them. Their work, they worked hard to get that to work. I bring all these to our attention because the outcome would have been different. In every one of these accounts, every one of these people that we talked about, if their heart wasn't changed, if their heart wasn't searching after God, if their heart wasn't in the right place, it would have been a different story. The same can be true for us. There is a sobering side to works. Turn with me in your Bibles. Closing verses here. Matthew chapter 7. There's a sobering side to works. Verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. In other words, his heart is right. He has faith in God, and he's working it out in his everyday life. And doing the will of his Father, what is his good will and his everything he would have for us. Doing God's pleasure. Verse 22 is sobering. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What a sobering context. We've done so many good works. We've done so much right. We look like a Mennonite. We went to church on Sunday morning. We greeted one another with a holy kiss. We didn't let any big differences stand between us. But the heart was not right. It's a sobering thought. I was going to stop with that, but let's turn to Matthew 25, one more verse. It kind of builds on that same thought as what we read in Matthew 7. Verse 35, Matthew 25, 35, For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. And I was sick, and the list goes on there, and the works that these people did. The righteous. Their heart was right. But their response was, when saw we thee there? Let me get that straight. Don't believe. Yes, they both said that. When saw we thee there? It's the everyday life. Their heart is right. Their heart is in tune with God, and they're living life in faith, and they were able to, it just flowed naturally. They wanted to do what God would have them to do. The other side, the sobering side, is that there's the other ones there, and God's judging them off their works, and they're saying, when did we see you there? We didn't do it, but we didn't see it. Their heart wasn't right. They weren't able to see it because they were living for self, I believe. They didn't have the humility that God calls us to. As we have a zeal for good works, it's going to produce humility, and we're going to be able to fulfill God's call here on this earth. The greatest good that you can do for yourself is to give yourself totally to God through faith in Christ Jesus. And the greatest good that you can do for another person is to have them come to the faith in Jesus Christ. There's the works that we need to strive for. But first of all, let's search our own hearts and lives. Am I in faith with God? Is my heart right? Am I following the Scripture? Or am I just striving to produce works that somehow looks right on the outside, but the inside's wrong? May God help us to be focused more on the inside that produces works than to look at the outside and hope to see the works on the outside, but not worry about the inside. Let's worry about the inside so that the outside wants to look right. Let us kneel for prayer.